All right, during the break, Josh informs me Tom Brady has co. And I was like, what's going on? Tom Brady has what now, Josh?
A clothing line.
Okay, thank God.
Clothing line.
clothing line.
He's got a new hoodie for sale. It is royal blue, and it says Brady in white text across the chest. It is a reference to a Simpsons episode from 2005.
Oh.
And the Brady brand tweets out from their account, at Brady Brand, get the hoodie the Simpsons predicted now on BradyBrand.com.
How about that?
So they turned it into
I appreciate that Tom is in on the joke. He seems like he's more in on the joke now over the last few years than he ever has been. And I appreciate that. He steers into the old guy thing, the whole Florida man deal.
It's a $95 hoodie.
Well, there's that part. That's not quite steering into the person of the people thing, but, you know.
Well, the shorts are just $75, so it's fine.
I am not sure that I get the I wouldn't be the target market for the target demographic for the player specific brand clothing. But do you? Like, everybody thinks they could be Jordan brand, and I guess. I don't know what the
point is. If somebody could, he could.
Like, did anybody get their piece of beef jerky merch while it was flying off the shelves? That was one I was kind of interested in because it's the novelty of it. But I did not buy, like, a Ben Stilley hoodie or a, you know, I'm not going to buy a Tom Brady one either. Robin Wash is going to join here in just a minute. I mentioned before the break there, 4 years ago today, a significant Nebraska basketball event occurred. And that would be Nebraska basketball beating Michigan by 20 on their home court in a statement, if you will, that they had arrived. They then went on to only lose two more regular season games en route to not going to the NCAA tournament. Great night, though. You won by 20, and you got to say Wagner. They ran Mo Wagner, future first-round pick, out of the gym that night. That was a fun one. One of the fun ones on the beat, which is full of fun for Robin Washington of Husker Online, who joins us right now. Hey, Robin. What's up?
Hey.
How's the, do you remember that night 4 years ago?
I'll never forget it. It was, you know, one of those points where, like, you look back and, like, kind of wonder what happened, like, after that night. Like,
it kind of was, yeah.
Everything was, like, going so awesome, and then, you know, the next 4 years would just be full of crushing disappointment for everyone involved with the program.
Well,
so it's one of those that, I don't know what went wrong after that point, but that was certainly one of the rare highs in recent years.
Well, since then, you know, There was the way that season ended, which is, not, you know, that was a team that was good enough to go to the NCAA tournament, and they didn't end up there. And then they had the win against Creighton the next year, and that's been about it over the last 4 years since that night.
Well, the first half of that season, where was that? 18-19 whatever.
Like, this is the Michigan game happened in 17-18.
Yeah, so that next year when they beat Creighton, steamboat raced
Seton Hall,
Oklahoma State in the Sioux Falls game. I think they beat like Seton Hall or something that year. So I mean, like that they were like almost a top 20 team at one point. We're talking about looking at them as a potential 4 seed in the tournament. Like that was like the real pinnacle of the
yeah
the modern era of Nebraska basketball this century, and Isaac Copeland blows his knee out, and the rest is history.
Yep. Okay. Well, we don't have to dive further into that memory lane. No, we're on this one now, in which Nebraska is now 0-8 in the Big Ten after losing to Indiana last night. I mean, it felt like getting Trey McGowan's back was at least a mental boost. And I think he provided some things. You tweeted it out last night. He made some good small things happen for them last night. What was the impact of Trey already, and then what can it be in the last, you know, handful of games here?
Obviously, just the leadership standpoint, that's been said a lot. But, you know, you just see the stuff that he does where, I mean, yeah, he had 7 points, 2 steals, you know, made his first three-pointer of the season, all that stuff. But, like, what really jumped out to me was his on-ball defense where, you know, he was matched up against former Pitt teammate, former Nebraska signee Xavier Johnson. And, you know, Xavier had 9 points and I think 5 assists, but he also had 5 turnovers. And Trey was a big part of that, to where every time Xavier Johnson brought the ball up court and Trey was out there, he was locked in on him. And he made life very difficult. And that's something Nebraska's really been missing, is that perimeter on-ball defender that can disrupt and somewhat take away the other team's best guard. And that's a huge asset to everything Nebraska does with its you know, switching defense. That just his presence alone in his first game back in 2 months was immediately felt. And you see little stuff too, like, you know, there was a loose ball where
yep.
ended up being a tie-up, and he goes and just tries to rip the ball away from Xavier Johnson, gets Johnson all flustered, you know. And like those are the types of, like, just like veteran
yep.
savvy plays that, you know, Nebraska doesn't make a lot of those. You know, when was the last time you saw a Nebraska guy diving on the floor for a loose ball and ended up winning it? And those are the types of things Trey brings. And as he continues to get his legs and his lungs back to where they were before his injury, I mean, he's going to have a more and more impact in those types of ways going forward. And like I said, this is a team that, yes, they've been blown out a lot, but they've also been really close to winning some big games. And maybe those are the types of winning plays that can finally, quote unquote, get them over the hump, which they've struggled to do all year long.
Well, that was the thing that I liked about it the best. There were points in that game, and the officials probably had a lot to do with this as well, but there was some chippiness there. Like, there was a real attitude from they have to bring that to win some of these.
Yeah, I mean, there's a balance too. Like, you can't have the, like, North Carolina State chippiness where you get a bunch of dudes thrown out of the game. So,
scootering, you know, off the bench.
Yeah, they've had that in games, but it hasn't been the right way. But, you know, they found a way to kind of get after Indiana a little bit in the right ways, to where, you know, they're having a few dust-ups, you know, a little bit of, like, small back-and-forth things that, you know, those types of things show that you're not just going to get pushed over. And I think that that's sometimes in a lot of these blowouts where you haven't seen any of that, where Nebraska just kind of lays down and lets their opponents do whatever they want with really no objection from Nebraska's part. So, you know, again, there's a fine line you got to walk there with being chippy and then just being full-blown, you know, disruptive with how physical you are. But, yeah, I think Trey was a big part of that, but certainly you saw a little bit more of an edge to Nebraska, and a little bit more resilience in not letting Indiana just come in there and coast the rest of the game.
With Trey McGowan's back and being, you know, weaned off a minutes restriction as he continues to kind of get there, I guess I would just a quick thought on this: would you expect that he would start their next game at Ohio State?
With a week, I guess it just depends on how his foot responds.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of just to be determined. We'll see how he feels today, how he feels tomorrow, and just how quickly he's able to put more of a workload going forward. Because this was, you know, the first real basketball he's played in 62 days. So, you know, there's just a lot of unknowns, just how his body's going to respond. But when he is ready, which could be Ohio State, could be the next time out. I mean, they're going to get him back in the starting lineup. They need him back in the starting lineup, and they need him playing his usual 30 to 35 minutes a game.
So I think we talked about this briefly last week. You know, with him being back and almost full go now, have we reached a breaking point with you need to do something with Verge or change up what is being put on his plate on a game-by-game basis?
Well, you certainly have more of a luxury to do that now, where you have another veteran guard out there that can facilitate the offense. And, you know, this week might be a time to do that, to where you finally do have Trey back and you finally have a couple of days of practice where you can work on stuff and install some stuff as opposed to, you know, just constantly taking a day off, game prep, and then playing a game. So this is one of those rare breaks in the Big Ten schedule. So where if you are going to try to change up a role like that and maybe do some things differently at the point guard position, this would be it. So we'll see if they do try to change what they want out of Alonzo. I mean, he's still going to be a facilitator to some degree. All their guards are. Maybe the ball doesn't need to go through him so much like it does on every possession now that you have Trey back and now that Kobe Webster has, you know, reaffirmed that he's a viable option off the bench. So you actually have some options now, to where there was a point where it was Alonzo and nobody else after Trey went out.
I mean, you go back and watch those last few possessions when the game was still on the line last night. That was just tough. I mean... Yep. I would love to see him.
There were highs and lows. Like, there were plays where, you know, Bryce's dunk and the look they got on Trey's three in the corner, like, those are exactly what you want in those situations. But then there were others where, you know, wild contested runners in the lane and rush three-pointers and just missed wide-open shots. Like, you know, there was good and bad. But, you know, again, this team's not good enough to have good and bad. They need to be good, and they need to be good at far more often than they have been in those critical game deciding moments. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they'll play good all the way up until the pressure's at its highest point, and then, you know, find a way to not make the plays while the other team steps up to the plate.
This is a better question for the coach, but all I have is you right now, so I'm going to ask you. But you know,
next best thing.
How do they get to, because I tweeted this out last night. They vacillate in between almost uninterested on defense and actually disruptive. You know, like they have the potential, if they lock in, to be a pretty decent defensive team when it's all, you know, connecting. How do they get them to kind of understand that that has to be that way all the time?
Well, I think a lot of their problem is they let their offense impact their defense.
Yeah, for
sure. So they'll start the game really well defensively, and then they'll go on one of those scoring droughts, and they get frustrated and then stop carrying on defense. You know, that's one of those things in previous years, you know, especially like under Tim Miles, where, like, yeah, the offense would be really bad for a stretch, but they always brought it. And that's what kept them in game. And, you know, the one thing you can't always control, whether or not the ball goes in or you get the call on offense, but what you can control is your effort defensively and your effort on the glass. And that has been far too inconsistent for a team that's not good enough right now offensively to take plays off when they're on defense. So that's one thing that is very much in Nebraska's control, and something that I know they've identified as a problem. That, you know, when they go on those extended, you know, shooting slumps where you know, they can't buy a bucket, the offense looks like a complete mess. That carries over to how they play defensively. But then conversely, they hit a couple big shots, then all of a sudden guys are floor slapping and, you know, all up in the defender's grill. And, you know, they look like a high-level defensive team. So, you know, it's kind of the theme of the season, where there are flashes of this team looking really good on both ends of the floor, but their inability to do so anywhere remotely close to a full 40 minutes has been their undoing far more often than not.
How much Husker football Kool-Aid are you chugging right now? Any?
Well, you know, I'm casually sipping it right now. I mean, they've had a good offseason. There's no denying that. That the things that needed to happen for there to have some faith, get restored into this program, they've happened. You know, they made some really good hires with the coaching staff. They brought in some high-level transfers at some key positions, particularly, you know, at quarterback. And so, you know, they're getting some people to, you know, Al Pacino style, you know, pull back in. And so we'll see, you know, if another offseason championship can actually transfer into the regular season. But for what they've been needed to do for the here and now, they've done a really good job at it and then put themselves in a position to at least have a chance, considering the circumstances they were in at the end of last season.
And they have Chuba.
They do. And then they got a dude named Chuba. I mean, that in itself is worth two wins.
Chuba, the coldest.
He might not even play, but coldest, Chuba. I mean, come on.
We're going to have, yeah, we got to put those guys next to each other, you know, on the sideline and just see what we can get out of that one. Okay, so we're mildly sipping the Kool-Aid at this point in time.
Yeah, you know, just sitting back, you know, on the deck, enjoying this pleasant January weather, sipping a nice little rocks glass full of Kool-Aid right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they like I'm at least mildly, if not more, and we'll see what happens in a month. But I'm pretty dang interested in spring ball at this point and to see how
just compared to where we like things were coming out of the season when like everybody was like, you know, like there's a big portion of the fan base that was like checked out. They go, oh, they're bringing back Frost. This is terrible. At least now, like I said, they've given some reason for optimism that maybe the moves have finally been made to take this program to the next step. And then you add in, they've got a relatively favorable schedule compared to previous years. And the moves they've been able to make this offseason, it's setting up for them to potentially take a step.
Okay.
Take a step in the right direction.
Would you like to say potentially again?
Potentially.
Okay. Robin Washit of Husker Online. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good, man. See you later.
Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com covers Husker football and basketball and is sitting on his porch today. Mildly sipping Kool-Aid. Be careful. You might like it. That's what happens.
You don't want to go too fast. You got pacers.
You might like it.
Mm-hmm.
You might enjoy it. You gotta watch out. We'll take a break and come back, round things out, what to watch tonight, and a few other spare thoughts as we near 2 o'clock here on the Connor Happer Show, 1620 The Zone.